Our new Carcanet volume, 20 Contemporary New Zealand Poets, an anthology, was launched in March 2009 at the Stanza Poetry Festival in St Andrews, Manchester Central Library, and the New Zealand House in London. Moments before the book launch at the New Zealand House, we managed to speak to editor Robin Marsak and poets Bill Manhire and Jenny Bornhold about the collection and the significance of the publication being launched both in New Zealand and in the UK. As the title of the anthology emphasizes contemporary poetry, we asked Robin to discuss the reasons behind the book's 1986 demarcation and how the poetry in New Zealand has developed since then.
Well, I suppose we chose 1986 because that was the year that Alan Kernow's very interesting collection was published, and it seemed a good landmark to begin with. And I would say really that New Zealand poetry has loosened up a great deal, that, as we say in the introduction, that often it's very conversational, that in some ways it's almost anti-poetic. It has a very great suspicion of romanticism, even of lyricism sometimes. So I think that the directions it's taking are fascinating and also very immediately accessible even to an audience that knows nothing about New Zealand.
It'll be very interesting to see how the reviews go over here. I mean, people might be very baffled by some of the work. I hope not. It's great that the book is coming into being because there hasn't been such an anthology getting outside New Zealand for quite a long time. And we've always had what the Australians call the tyranny of distance as a bit of a problem. A New Zealand poet has some called Charles Brash, maybe 60 years ago, wrote the line, "Distance looks our way." And so there's always this sense that your audience is just limited to the people who happen to live in the long, skinny village called New Zealand. And the internet changes all that, of course, but not quite enough. So to have a solid book with several hundred pages in it of contemporary New Zealand poetry, tiptoeing out into the world is a very good thing.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, I've been at the Stanza Poetry Festival, and they had a whole panel one morning on the absence of young Scottish poets, and everyone on the panel agreed that there were no young Scottish poets. And if you're a New Zealander sitting there, you think, how can this be? In New Zealand, we can't move for poets. You know, there are really, really, really talented people around, and the two of the biggest university presses have big poetry lists. The other university presses have smaller poetry lists. And then there are all the, you know, the small publishers as well. So there's a very vibrant publishing scene there. And I think probably my sense is there's a wider range of voices, a wider range of things being tried than perhaps there is in English poetry at the moment. But that's a dangerous thing to say.
I think the anthology is fantastic because it does show the huge range of work that's happening in New Zealand. Because maybe people who are not from New Zealand kind of assume that because we're a small country, things are very similar there or something, which isn't the case at all. I mean, there's a huge, hugely various, the poems that come out of the country. And yeah, it's always interesting to have your work put alongside other people's. And I think that, you know, the various voices kind of talk to each other quite well, even though they talk quite differently often.
That's a nice way to put it, yeah.
I think it's kind of a good-natured conversation that's happening.
Mm. Yeah. You read two of Bill's poems yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was quite special. And I suppose part of that is because you can't, you know, all of the poems aren't here. So is there a special feeling reading work that's shared in this collection? Yeah.
Oh, no, it really is. It was I felt really lucky. I mean, for a start, I feel very lucky to be here. And also, it just feels fantastic to be able to read other people's work, to kind of promote their work to an audience. And so, when we read in Manchester yesterday, Robin and I had decided we'd read mostly work by other people, just so people could get an idea, again, that whole thing of variety and voice, you know, to see or to hear that there are different things happening, just to represent what's in the anthology and give other people, you know, the other poets are kind of voice in the room, which is always a nice... I mean, it doesn't happen very often, and I don't often read poems by other people, but I loved doing it. It was fantastic.
That's quite nice, and it's a nice, maybe a surprise of what sort of happened because of this book.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Here's an excerpt from the Manchester Central Library reading that took place the day before. Jenny Bornhold reads, "Can I Do It?" by Dinah Hawken.
The kereru is a native wood pigeon in New Zealand. They're huge, and they land on a branch, the whole branch will go like this, you know, the weight of it. Can I do it? This balancing act, like the fat kereru hanging exquisitely upside down on the thin outermost branch of the kowhai tree, confident, teetering, snatching at the whole sweet flower. Or backed here on my horse against breakers at low tide, the four roads, waiting for a lull. Can I make the swift break to wherever on this long coast I am going?
The New Zealand House hosted the event at their penthouse suite, which has to be said boasts one of the most striking views across the City of London.
The launch was opened by New Zealand High Commissioner Derek Leask.
This anthology is called 20 Contemporary New Zealand Poets, and it's a marvellous treasure chest loaded with a literary taonga. And we are delighted as a High Commission to be able to host you here in the penthouse. Now, identity in the 21st century is not just a matter of knowing who you are, it's also knowing about where you fit in with the rest of the world. Now, you are the experts when it comes to poetry, but I hope that I'm right in assuming that New Zealand poetry too is the better for our engagement with and contribution to a wider world of literature. Nō reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou. Tēnā koutou katoa. Thank you.
To get a sense of how the anthology would be received by an international readership, we asked Dr. Carrie Etter, an associate lecturer in creative studies at Bath Spa University, about her familiarity with New Zealand poetry.
I went on my honeymoon to Australia and New Zealand in 2000, and I had known of Elizabeth Smither and Bill Manheyer's work when I went over. And then after that, you know, once I got over and started picking up some magazines and some of the work published by like University of Auckland Press as well as Victoria and so on, I was so impressed. And it felt, you know, for such a small country, such individual voices that... I can't explain it, but I've never stopped reading. I have never stopped opening a magazine and seeing Elizabeth Smither and Bill Manheyer, Sam Sampson, and a number of other poets without immediately turning to the poems, feeling giddy.
Bill Manheyer read his poem Erebus Voices, dedicated to the Erebus tragedy of 1979. Bill Manheyer's collected poems was published in 2001, and his most recent collection, Lifted, 2007, are both published by Carcanet.
I think it's New Zealand's greatest peacetime calamity when the plane flew into the mountain on a tourist flight over Antarctica. And because New Zealand is a long, skinny country, a long, skinny village, really, everyone knows someone who was affected by that. Anyway, in October 2004, I was rung by the Dean of Christchurch Cathedral and asked, would I write a poem for Sir Edmund Hillary to read at a commemorative event down in Antarctica. What I eventually thought I could write, there have been 25 years of vituperative recrimination, really. There have been many voices arguing and challenging and damning and blaming. And it seemed to me that the two voices that perhaps hadn't been heard over that time were the voice of the mountain, which had somehow got associated with something it had nothing to do with, in a way, and the voices of the dead. And it seemed to me that also 25 years had gone by, and that as these things are, one can remember the dead as they were before they died, rather than as in this case as body parts making up the debris trail, really. So I wrote this poem, which simply offered those two voices. And I'll read that now. Erebus voices, so the mountain speaks. I am here beside my brother, Terra. I am the place of human error. I am beauty and cloud, and I am sorrow. I am tears which you will weep tomorrow. I am the sky and the exhausting gale. I am the place of ice. I am the debris trail. And I am still a hand, a fingertip, a ring. I am what there is no forgetting. I am the one with truly broken heart. I watch them fall and freeze and break apart. And then the dead reply, we fell, yet we were loved and we are lifted. We froze, yet we were loved and we are warm. We broke apart, yet we are here and we are whole.